We're talking about the housing market here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In Wisconsin, January sales followed pace with last year's record activity of home sales. More than 4,700 homes were sold in the first month of the year. High demand and very low inventory is pushing prices higher. The state's median home price in January rose 10.5% to $210,000. So what does this all mean for your prospects of buying or selling? How has the pandemic changed the way you feel about your living situation? It's 800-642-1234. Courtney Stefaniak is a third-generation realtor with the Stefaniak Group in Milwaukee. She chairs the board of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. Courtney, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, we also have Deb Hansen with us, president of the Realtors Association of Northwestern Wisconsin and a managing team leader for Century 21 Affiliated. Deb, welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Deb, let's start with you and give us a bird's eye view of what winter is shaping up to be in Wisconsin's housing market.
Well, winter is the new summer, I would say.
Up in
Wisconsin, because the housing market has been going strong for 3 years, and it really hasn't slowed down. Winter hasn't slowed us down at all.
Okay, Courtney, what is going on? What is this frenzy all about?
Yeah, I would agree with Deb. I mean, we ended 2020 with a record number of sales, which was amazing considering everything else that was going on in 2020. And it's continued into this year. So we've had a really good first couple of months of 2021. I guess the biggest challenge that we're facing right now would be the inventory levels.
Very tight, tight inventory. Deb, can you give us some, you know, some estimation there of what that, you know, means in terms of the number of homes on the market and what buyers have to look at?
Well, buyers right now are facing huge challenges because there is such a lack of inventory. This lack of inventory has been going on for about 3 years, and it's getting tighter and tighter. First-time home buyers especially are experiencing a big challenge, and oftentimes they only get maybe a half hour to be in a house and make a really quick decision. There's, in most cases, no opportunity for a second showing on a house. So if you see something you like, you better jump on it right now.
Deb, are you seeing just multiple offers right away? What do offers look like?
Oh, yes. We are seeing multiple offers. For example, a house in our market, it was priced around $160,000. It got 38 offers on it within 1 day. So you are buyers needing to write your highest and best, most competitive offer and working with an agent who can help you with crafting that offer in a creative manner to help you get the home.
Courtney, I mean, here's probably just an obvious statement, but this is a surefire seller's market. No bones about it, right?
No bones about it. You are correct there. And I'm in the Milwaukee market, so we're seeing a lot of the same things that Deb just mentioned. Having to act really, really quickly once you see a listing hit the market. Make sure you get your buyers in there within the first 24 hours. Because like she said, you really only have one chance. And sometimes with COVID protocols and not allowing overlapping showings, it makes it really difficult for people to get in there in a timely manner. So they really have to act fast and then make a quick decision. And like she said, make your highest and best offer right off the bat, because we're not seeing counter offers. So definitely don't leave anything on the table and go in aggressive right off the bat.
We're talking with Courtney Stefaniak and Deb Hansen. They're real estate agents in Wisconsin, and they're with us as we look at the unique situation that we're in this current housing market. Getting your questions as well about buying and selling and what you see where you are, 800-642-1234. Gary is joining us from Boscobel. Hi, Gary. What would you like to ask?
question about a friend of mine who wants to sell a house here in Boscobel. And the taxes indicate that the fair market value is about $87,000. And I'm wondering what value over that, how much over a fair market value price that seller could expect a real estate agent to list that house for.
Gary, thanks. Deb, you first.
Hi, Gary. Thank you so much for your question. That would be a really great question for a local real estate agent. I personally don't work in that market, but I can attest to our market in the Chippewa Valley. Oftentimes, it really depends on the condition of the property and how well it's maintained. And also, I hate to say it, how cute it is. The cuter it is, the more emotional ties get involved with the buyer purchasing the house. And also, then it also drives up the price at that point. So the best answer is check with a local real estate agent in your market.
Courtney, anything to add there for Gary? And certainly sounds like curb appeal hasn't gone anywhere. Still very important.
Curb appeal is a big one, but I think to me it sounded like what Gary was talking about might have been appraised value versus assessed value. Mm. He was mentioned something about the taxes. So the assessed value really has no bearing on the fair market value of your home. They use that number to determine your taxes. So what he really wants to find out is the appraised value, the fair market value, and he's going to do that by, like Deb said, contacting a local realtor in that area that really knows that market.
Courtney, what are some good questions to ask when you are looking to choose a real estate agent? How should you go about that?
Yeah, I think you really want to find somebody that is local to your area, that knows the neighborhood, knows the school districts, how long they've been in the business, how many houses they sell a year. Things like that are all good questions to ask.
Deb, how do your clients find you?
Great question. Yes, our clients are typically finding us online. Also, right now, with how tight everything is, a lot of sellers are visiting open houses and choosing their agent from that open house. So it's often a great place to meet potential sellers.
So there are still open houses to be had. There, you're still finding that the open house hasn't gone anywhere in this very hot seller's market.
What we've been finding in our market is agents will list the house mm-hmm. and schedule an open house immediately when it hits the open market. Just for an example, a house in our market went on the market on Thursday night. The agent had a four-hour open house on Friday and then another four-hour open house on Saturday. With that, those two open houses, she had over 200 buyers come through the open house and then ended up with 7 offers in the end.
Wow. So, you know, if you are selling your home and it sells in hours, but you can't find a new home to buy, are you seeing contingencies, Courtney? What happens in those situations?
Yeah, that's where it gets tough when we have people who want to sell their home, but then on the other end of it, they think, okay, now where am I going to go with this low amount of inventory? So I think we need to explore all options in that case, whether you can, I've had people go and stay with family, look into short-term rentals. Obviously, if you can write your next offer not contingent on the sale of your current home, that's obviously ideal because sellers are really looking for competitive and clean offers. So if we can write as strong of an offer as possible with few contingencies, that's really ideal in this type of market.
Wisconsin is seeing a sharp decline in the number of homes for sale. Inventory extremely tight, as we've been talking about. We have real estate agents Courtney Stefaniak there in Milwaukee, Deb Hansen in the Eau Claire area, giving us perspective on what this all means for home buying. Agents, how are you advising your clients? Have you seen the market move this quickly before? Is buying a home no longer a goal for you? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more conversation about housing here on the Ideas Network. We're getting a read on the housing market in Wisconsin with two professionals. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Home sales hit a record high last year and so far shows no signs of slowing in 2021, compounded by a big inventory crunch. As we've been talking about, the inventory of homes in South Central and Southeast Wisconsin is so tight, even shy of a two-month supply in January. What does this all mean for you? Are you planning to put your home, your condo, your apartment on the market? What is the situation? 800-642-1234. We have agents Deb Hansen in the northwestern part of our state and Courtney Stefaniak in Milwaukee as our guides. Dwayne is joining us from Wausau with a question. Hi, Dwayne. Go ahead.
Well, good morning. Good morning. A close friend, a family member, looked at a house. They wanted this much. Then they brought it down. They appraised it, and it appraised for like $20,000 less than what they were asking. And, you know, most lending institutions will not lend you more than the appraisal value, I don't think. So then the owner did basically accept the bank would lend them, you know, minus their deposit on top of that. But, and then also, I would have them owners or purchasers to be to document any issues with the house at the closing. I think they can still do that when you're all sitting in the room, you know, and then also, you think we're in a bubble. So those three things.
Dwayne, you bring up a number of things there, starting with how much to borrow, Courtney, and what the appraisal factors in with the borrowing as interest rates are very low right now. Courtney, go ahead.
Yeah, like you said, interest rates are really low. So that's where we're seeing our buyers get their good deal, right? Everyone wants a good deal. So that's where the buyers can save some money. And then, like he said, with appraisals, I work with a lot of first-time home buyers. So usually they're going to have between 3 to maybe 10% down payment. So obviously that appraisal issue is a big topic of conversation. But there's definitely ways that you can structure an offer to still make your offer competitive and creative while keeping those contingencies in the offer.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier a clean offer. What does that offer entail? What makes it competitive?
I think always going in with a strong price. However, with that being said, price is not always the winner. So there's other things that we can do. If you can accommodate the seller's closing date, maybe they want to close really quickly, or maybe they need some occupancy after closing. And if you can allow that, maybe that will help you with your offer. I would say not adding in any contingencies that aren't required to close the deal or for you to get the financing. So just keeping it clean in that sense and not adding in a bunch of extra contingencies that aren't necessary.
Deb, would you like to add anything about appraised value and what you can borrow at the bank?
Yes, thank you so much. I agree with Courtney and everything she said. And that is another issue. We haven't seen that as much in our area about things appraising under what the purchase price is. But certainly that could be an issue. So, and like Courtney said, buyers, especially first-time buyers, are putting only 3 to 10% down. So that could be an issue. However, if the value is there, there should be no problem.
Brian now in La Crosse. Hi, Brian. Go ahead. Oh, and Brian is no longer there. You know, Dwayne did mention, Deb, that he thinks we're in a bubble. Do you see it that way?
Well, yes and no. It really, when we think about housing bubble, you think back to, for those of us who've been in the industry a long time, you think back to 2008, 2009. And the market at that point, it was an economic downturn. But now, lenders are keeping up with their due diligence, appraisals are keeping up with what the current market is doing. So it's a different sort of sense than what you traditionally would think as a housing bubble.
Okay. Courtney, did we learn things after the housing crisis and how real estate works?
Yeah, we certainly did. And I mean, I can't predict the future, so we don't know what's going to happen. However, when you look at the differences between the two markets, they're drastically different, right? So we have much stricter lending laws and policies. Lenders are doing everything possible to verify employment and make sure that these buyers are qualified for the loans. We have a much lower default risk than we did back in 2008, 2009. I think this market is more of a supply and demand issue versus, you know, years ago, it was we had a ton of inventory on the market and people were getting interest-only loans. So I don't really think that we're totally comparing apples to apples when we look at those two markets because they're quite different. So I hope that helps a little bit into why I don't think we're in a housing bubble.
Okay.
More of a supply and demand issue, I think the problem is right now.
Let's try to go for Brian again in La Crosse. Hi, Brian. Are you there?
I am here.
All right. Go ahead.
I had a question. We recently purchased a home last August, and it did appraise for $2,000 less than what we originally settled for. So luckily, we were able to get the price down to that appraisal value. But my question is, what are people doing if they are appraising for less than the asking price? And if people are having to come up with the extra cash to pay for that, is that a smart move when the inventory starts to go back up again and potentially home values may come down?
Brian, thank you. Courtney, what do you do when you're in that situation?
Well, with the appraisal contingency in the offer, you have a couple of different options. Like he said, you can make up the difference if you have the cash on hand and you're comfortable doing that. If the seller is willing to lower the price, that's always great. You can maybe even meet somewhere in the middle. So like he said, there was a $2,000 discrepancy. Maybe your buyer can kick in the $1,000 and the seller can lower by $1,000. So there's a couple different ways to go about that. And usually, you know, we can work together to find a solution that makes everyone happy. But like he said, I mean, that's every transaction is different. Mm. So if someone is comfortable and has the cash on hand and they really, really want to buy the house, then they can go ahead and make up that appraisal difference. But we haven't really seen so far anyways, drastic differences between appraised values and purchase prices, at least in the greater Milwaukee market.
Courtney Stefaniak here in real estate in the Milwaukee area. Deb Hansen works in the northwestern part of the state. We're understanding the challenges of home buyers as statewide inventory is very low. Let's go to Curtis now in Sparta with a question. Hi, Curtis.
Hey, isn't the reason that housing prices are so high is basically because of low interest rates, and that's how people take out a bigger mortgage, and sellers know that and realtors know that? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Deb, would you like to broach that question?
Sure. Thank you so much for your question, Curtis. And the price does have some, there is some dependence on interest rate, but also it's a supply and demand issue. So when supply is low, then prices tend to rise. So when the supply of housing is high, there's more competition, so prices tend to be lower, but then the interest rate tends to be higher.
Yeah. Courtney, anything you would like to add there?
Yeah, I think definitely supply and demand plays a big part in that. I think buyers right now are trying to take advantage of those low interest rates. And I think what's really driving prices up, like Deb said, is the fact that we are seeing multiple offers on homes. So obviously with that right there is driving prices up, right? When we have more than one offer, I've seen as many as 31 offers on a house. So obviously that can drive the price up. And like she said, there's such a shortage of inventory that, you know, everybody looking in the Milwaukee area is kind of looking at the same houses. So not so much interest rates, I think more so the shortage of inventory, and then buyers obviously wanting to purchase now, it's more affordable than it was, you know, 10 years ago when rates were 4% or higher. So even though prices are up, things are still affordable with those low interest rates.
Courtney, is this tight inventory also playing out in the condo market and the apartments?
The condo market, for sure, in the Milwaukee area, there is definitely not a lot on the market. And we haven't had any new development or new construction in the condo market in Milwaukee in quite a while. So I think that plays a big part in it, too, is that we haven't had new construction or new builds.
We are navigating housing market with Courtney Stefaniak and Deb Hansen. Record high sales, extremely low inventory, low interest rates. What does it mean for you and home buying? Did you delay buying? How has the pandemic changed the way you feel about your home situation? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this back up after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're trying to understand what home buyers and sellers are going through in Wisconsin as we came off of 2020 with record sales and the market shows no signs of softening. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We have Courtney Stefaniak, a real estate agent with the Stefaniak Group in Milwaukee. Deb Hansen is here, managing team leader for Century 21 affiliated in the northwestern part of the state, and we have them for the hour. Megan in Wausau is with us, Megan being a potential seller. Hi, Megan, go ahead. What's your situation?
Hi, yeah, I am a potential seller. I've owned my house for 12 years. I'm in a fairly desirable neighborhood. And the thing that is really keeping me from pulling the trigger is I'm terrified that I won't find a house to buy after I sell. And I'm just wondering if there's any advice or words or wisdom for me.
Megan, thank you. Deb, you first.
Yes, it is. That could be a challenge for sure. One thing I would explore, and I've been doing this with a lot of my sellers, is having them explore the possibility of a bridge loan. Now, back in 2007, 8, 9, we really didn't recommend that because we were a little concerned on the saleability of the home, the seller's house. But right now, if your house is ready to go on market and your agent is confident that it will sell fairly quickly, then a bridge loan is a great option. I have someone that's moving from our area to the Minneapolis area, and they explored that option. They were able to secure a bridge loan for their purchase in Minneapolis, and I put their house on the market and it sold within a day. So they did not even have to activate that bridge loan.
And can you explain how that bridge loan works?
Sure. So what the bridge loan does is it kind of bridges the gap between when you sell your property and the house that you're purchasing. So it allows you to be able to get financing on the property that you are going to purchase without selling your current property.
Okay. Courtney, do you have any suggestions for Megan as she is really apprehensive of putting that for sale sign up?
Sure. I think in addition to what Deb said, she could also ask for a longer closing. So we're seeing that a lot here in the Milwaukee market with some sellers needing time to transition or to find suitable housing for themselves. So asking for maybe a 60-day or 90-day closing time period from the buyer. And I think with the competitiveness of the market, buyers are most willing to oblige. So that's also something to explore for her too.
Megan, thanks. Russ now on in terms of closing. Russ and Stoughton, hi.
Hi, good morning. I had a couple of questions. Number one, I live in just outside the Madison area, across the road from a lake, and as real estate agents like to form it, Lake Views. Well, it's an old house that what's been going on in this neighborhood is that it was built in 1915 or 18. So people are, you know, tearing them down and building, you know, new modern houses on the properties. And I'm wondering, is it advisable, instead of having to have people go through on tours and you have to leave your house, to advertise it as lot only? And the other question I have is, What is a reasonable expected amount of time for closing? Are people still accepting 30 days or more? Because I have no idea where I'd be going.
All right, Russ, thank you. Courtney, you first on the length of time of closing.
Yeah, I think that kind of plays a little bit off what we were just talking about in terms of where you're going to go next. If a buyer is going to a bank or a lender for financing, yes, they are going to need, I would say, at least 30 days. Sometimes they can pull it off a little bit quicker if you really want to, but I would give 30 to 45 days minimum. And then, like I said, if he needs that extra time, that's just something that you can work out with your agent that you guys can advertise or ask for a longer closing so that you can figure that out, that next move.
Russ is also asking, Deb, about a lot-only sale.
Hi, Russ. I was a little confused on that. You could do it either way. It sounds like you might have a house that potentially would not be inhabitable. I wasn't quite understanding the question.
Russ, can you give us some
the
more?
The house is inhabitable, yeah. but everybody that buys around here is tearing down all the old houses in the neighborhood and building new ones. So I thought it made sense to advertise it as the lot only because it's one of the bigger ones in the neighborhood.
I see. Okay. That's one thing you could discuss with your agent, because in our market, we could advertise it two different ways on our MLS. We could have the house for a certain dollar amount, and then you could also sell it as lot only. But then one thing to consider is whoever's buying it is going to be incurring tear down costs and things like that. So that would play into the price of the lot only sale.
Yeah. Are there lots to be had, Deb? You know, we see homes so tight. What about available lots to build on?
Yes. Right now in our market, building is going very, very strong. We have a lot of builders that have secured lots, and we're able to make them into new subdivisions. So that is helping our inventory a bit because of the lack of existing homes to buy. Purchasers are also being able to find lots and work with a builder on building a home.
Courtney, you were saying earlier that construction is pretty slow. What is your read on housing starts in the Milwaukee area and construction on whether it's homes or multi-tenant housing, apartments, condos?
Yeah, in the immediate Milwaukee area, I don't see too much new construction. I would say maybe 20, 30 minutes west of Milwaukee, we are seeing some more single family new builds. So I think people are kind of weighing the costs and the option of buying an older home that needs some renovations versus just, you know, buying the land and starting from scratch and doing the new build. So we know the cost of materials has gone up quite a bit. So that plays a large factor into the affordability of somebody able to do the new construction route. But it's definitely an option if you were, you know, looking at more of a dated home that may need some renovations.
Tom is with us from Appleton with a question. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Yeah, I'm just curious about, in general, lakefront property without any house or anything on it. Up in the Appleton area here, we have a lot on a lake that was appraised like in 2016. And I'm just wondering since that time if lake property has increased a certain percentage or.
Yeah, Tom, thank you. Courtney, what about lakefront property?
Sure. I'm sure it's increased since 2016. Prices have only gone up from then. And obviously, with COVID and the pandemic, it's changed what buyers are looking for in a home. So, you know, we've seen a lot of people working from home, looking for that home office, home gym, finished basement, larger yard. So if you have a lot on a lake, that's, you know, somebody could potentially build on and be out of the city and be a little bit more remote, it may be a good time to consider selling.
Tom, thank you. Deb, what do you see in terms of lakefront property and that attractiveness?
Oh, lakefront property is really, really, it has skyrocketed in the last few years. You know, they don't make any more land, and they don't make any more land on lakes. So the lots that are vacant lots on a lake are, have, the value has really grown exponentially. And same goes for existing homes on a lake. So it's a great time if you do have lakefront property to sell.
Pete is joining us from Eau Claire with a question on a rental unit. Pete, hi.
Hello. My wife and I bought a house back in, it was like 89 or 90, paid less than $24,000 on it. And now our tenants, we've kept it, our tenants would like to buy it at about $115,000. They've been pre-approved by at least one bank. However, one of our neighbors built a fence that I immediately challenged him on it because it is on our property, and one of the other neighbors on the other side of this gentleman surveyed their property because they want to put a garage on it. And indeed, it is about 2 feet onto our property. The neighbor that built the fence, when I originally challenged him on it or spoke to him about it, became extremely hostile towards me. And I'm not sure how to proceed with rectifying this issue. What do I do?
Pete, thank you. Deb or Courtney, who would like to go first?
I could speak to that.
Sure,
this
Deb.
Is Deb. Hi, Keith. That definitely is a challenge. One thing that I would highly recommend is contacting an attorney. Now, when you are going to sell the property, you'll be working with a title company, and title companies do have an attorney on staff. So that would be probably your best route on this because there could become a title issue. So definitely reach out to a real estate attorney on this.
Courtney, anything else to add there?
I would just echo Deb's advice in contacting an attorney. It sounds like maybe an encroachment issue with the fence. So yes, that could bring up potential title issues. And we would just advise an attorney.
And, you know, when you buy a new property and you want to know, like, you know, where your boundaries stop and start, you know, or what the stakes in the yard mean, can you give us some openings there, some information about discerning where your property stops and starts? Courtney?
Yeah, sometimes here in the Milwaukee area, you can check the city's websites. They might have some plat maps available online. Also, you can have a survey done on your property if you really want to get down to the details of where the lot lines and things like that are. So there's a few options of where you can look.
We're talking with real estate agents Courtney Stefaniak and Deb Hansen about the seller's market and what they're seeing across the state. If you're not a seller, what do you plan to do to get in a new home? How long have you been looking? Have you made offers only to get rejected? What happened? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation on the housing market in Wisconsin. How do you price a home in these times? Too high, it may languish on the market. Going lower may drive lots of offers and a faster sale. So we're getting advice on this housing crunch here in Wisconsin. Agent Courtney Stefaniak chairs the board of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. Deb Hansen is here, president of the Realtors Association of Northwestern Wisconsin, and they're fielding your questions at 800-642-1234. They're here for about 10 more minutes. Let's look at setting the price, finding that sweet spot, Deb. Should you lower your listing price to sell your home faster, or will this create, in this climate, just this flurry of offers and perhaps a bidding war? How do you set a price right now?
Oh, yes, bidding wars. That is so common right now because prices, even when we price them appropriately, we are still getting bidding wars up to $30,000 over the list price. So it's really a strategic move to make sure your property is priced appropriately, because we talked about the appraisal issue earlier. We just don't want the bidding war to inflate it too much where you're going to run into that issue. So very critical to work with your agent on making sure that your property is priced appropriately to comparables that have sold and comparables that are on the market.
Courtney, how do you work with your clients to set that asking price, to find that right price?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're obviously going to look at comparable sales in the area. And even going back, if you just go back to last year, we're going to put a little bit more weight on it this year, because like we said earlier, prices have gone up about 10%. So not only looking at comparable sales, but also looking at what's currently on the market and where our competition is at, and maybe where we would fit in against those other properties.
So doing your homework here on those comparables is paramount.
Yeah, it's definitely still important to look at those, to not overprice and also not price it too low. Because like Deb said, I mean, it's a frenzy no matter what right now because of the lack of inventory. You know, in the Milwaukee market, I've seen some houses have over 100 showings and 18, 19, 20 plus offers. So really, we've got to price it fairly and aggressively, and looking at the comparable sales in, you know, the last couple of months, and then also what's currently on the market will help you do that.
Courtney, how should you get your home ready for sale? You know, what work should you consider doing on the home? How do you get it ready for those showings?
Sure. If there's any maintenance items that might come up in a buyer's home inspection, I think you'll probably want to address those before you put your house on the market. Obviously, hire a great local realtor in your area to walk through and help you depersonalize the home. Make sure you've got neutral colors and decor. Don't forget about curb appeal. And then also the biggest one, I think, in the market that we're in and how everything is virtual and online, professional photos are a really, really, really big one. So,
yeah. So making that home really look good online. Deb, what do you advise your clients on getting it ready to go for that listing?
Yes, I echo Courtney's advice 100%. Making sure getting all of those things that may come up in an inspection addressed ahead of time. I really advise my clients to have a pre-inspection. Even though you've lived in your house for a very long time, you may think you know everything about it, but when it comes down to it, a pre-inspection will help you avoid any issues in the future. So you'll find out if there are any issues, and you can get those addressed immediately.
Dave is joining us from Madison with a question. Hi, Dave.
Hello, good morning. As I look online between Zillow and Redfin, whatever, there's a big difference in their estimates. How accurate are those companies, do you think, with their estimates as values?
So, Dave, you put an address in, a property in, and you see those estimates. Courtney, can you help us, you know, when we do that and you see it in Zillow, you know, how close are those estimates?
Oh, boy, Dave, that's a loaded question. You know, we like Zillow because we like to use it as an advertising tool. We want to maximize exposure for all of our clients. And of course, we know buyers look there. However, I don't put a whole lot of weight on the Zestimates or whatever they're called, the values on Zillow. So really, you're going to want your agent to do that CMA, a comparative market analysis, for you using comps from our MLS, the multiple listing service, to get you an accurate number. Because if those numbers in Zillow are not updated, you know, I have people send me links all the time from Zillow and say, oh, is this house available? And it could have sold 6 months ago. So it's not updated. Our MLS is updated every 15 minutes. It's live, accurate data. So definitely go that route instead of the third party site route.
Deb, what do you make of those sites like Zillow and Redfin and the numbers that you see there?
I echo 100% again with Courtney on that. One example is Zillow has never been in that house. So Zillow has no idea what that house is worth. So you really need to rely on your local realtor who has access to the MLS and what actually has sold. A lot of things on Redfin and Zillow like Courtney said, are not available anymore, or the information is not 100% accurate. For example, I went to a house, a listing appointment, and Zillow told them their house was worth probably 160. And so that's what they were expecting. And I went there, and in my opinion, based on the market condition, it was actually worth 199.
That
depends on the house, because sometimes Zillow might say it's worth 250 and it's really only worth 175. It really depends on the condition of the house, and Zillow has not seen the condition of your house.
I want to make sure that we spend a bit of time on safety precautions amid COVID and what it is like to go through an open house, what it is like at closing. Courtney, you first. What are those precautions?
Yeah, so I haven't seen too many open houses in the greater Milwaukee area. I think those that are still doing them are, you know, making sure people wear masks. I've even heard that there's been long lines outside of people's open houses waiting for their turn to tour. So, you know, the few open houses that I've seen, they're obviously taking the best safety measures that they can. My best advice would be to schedule a private showing with your agent and then, you know, take your 15 to 30 minute window to go see the house with your realtor.
Deb, what safety precautions are you seeing out there in northwestern part of the state?
Yes, we are seeing pretty much every single house that we go into. We ask the seller what they prefer, and most of our sellers do prefer us to wear a mask, and we as agents or the seller will have either booties or something like that, definitely removing shoes as always. But also, most of our listings do have hand sanitizer right at the door, and then we all have in our showing time app, we can see what the showing is, what's expected of us at each house. Mm-hmm. So whether the seller wants us not to touch anything, whereas they leave the lights on. So the lights are on when we get there, so we don't have to touch anything. Some sellers are going so far as to leave the cupboard doors open. So it really is created a really nice, safe environment in our area.
Very quickly, closings, are they still around a conference room table, or is a lot of this doing it electronically, Deb?
Our closings are still around a conference room table.
Okay.
But the difference is the title companies are not allowing any excess people in. So essentially, the only people in are allowed in are the buyers. So the buyers go in and sign their paperwork with a title person. We as agents are typically not allowed in unless our buyers want us there. And we will sit in the parking lot in case there is questions.
Well, and we are out of time. Deb, Courtney, thank you for joining us. Deb Hansen, real estate agent in northwestern Wisconsin. Courtney Stefaniak, realtor with the Stefaniak Group in Milwaukee. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is the Ideas Network.